10. We'll start reading in verse 46. Mark 10, 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way.
Let's go, Lord, pray.
Father, we come to you this morning asking the Lord to fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I can't do anything without thee. I pray, Father, that you'd take your word, Lord, and expound it, Lord, and use me, Father, and help me to preach and teach your word, Lord, with power and authority. And I pray, Father, that you'd be with each person here. I pray that you'd bless them. I pray, Father, that you'd give them something from thee. I pray, Father, that you'd open up our hearts, Lord, and give us something, Lord, to sustain us and help us, Lord, to be a better Christian and live for you and serve you like we ought to. I pray that you'd show us things out of your law this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, just like Paul there said, that's a funny thing. What I was preaching on, he's talking about he had his eyes closed trying to walk around in there. I remember doing that when I was a kid. I was trying to see what it felt like to be blind. You know, I walk around, you know, at the door, you know. And that's a terrible feeling, you know, not to be able to see the flowers and the trees and on the one hand, it's a terrible feeling not to be able to see the flowers. This world is beautiful in some spots. And then on the other hand, you don't have to see all the filth and everything that's going on. See, somebody's blind, you know what, the first thing he's going to see will be Jesus Christ. He's been blind from the birth, so you got two different ways there. Now, you know what's worse than physical blindness is spiritual blindness. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, turn to 2 Corinthians, we'll go ahead and read it, 4:4. We'll start reading verse 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So there's the spiritual blindness of lost people today. Lost people, they can't see why. Just like we was talking the other day about John Wayne, you know. There's some people, before he died, there's some people come to him and got the gospel. I'm telling you, fundamental people that really knew the plan of salvation and put it to him, see? And you know what he told them? Well, look here, said, whenever you've done all the good things I've done, give all the money I've given to charity and all that stuff, then you come back and talk to me. And he wouldn't have nothing to do with them. You know what he done? He took the last rites in the Roman Catholic Church before he died and went to hell. I mean, he might have done a lot of good things, but he's in hell. He rejected the plan of salvation. He just went away. He was spiritually blind. He thought all his good works were going to help him. See? It ain't going to help him. Now, it's lost people blind. Blind to salvation. And you also got saved people that's blind. They blind the growth. And you desire the sincere move of the word that you may grow thereby. You can be a baby Christian. I was a baby Christian all the way up until I was 30 years old. Before I really started growing. Because I didn't get in the Bible and didn't read and didn't study for myself. And if you don't get in there and read and try to dig, you know, and look things up you're not going to grow spiritually. You're going to be a baby. And that's the reason there's so much trouble in churches nowadays. Because there's so many baby Christians, and every time something comes up, you know, well, they'll blow up like that, you know, and get on the floor and kick and scream and like a full bunch of spoiled brats. See, that's the reason they have so much trouble. You know, and they'll leave, you know, and run around some other church and go to this church and that church, you know, and bounce around. And because they can't get their way in this church, what they are, they're spiritual spoiled brats, see. That's what it is. Okay, that's being blind spiritually. Now, the first thing let's look at in this passage of Scripture is his condition. His condition is, first of all, he's blind. Verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. There's two things about that. All lost people are beggars. They might be rich, but they're begging. They got nothing. They begging, trying to get this little bit and then a little bit more, and they want to get more material things, trying to be happy. They begging is what they're doing. They're lost and they're begging. That's why we were saved, but we're still begging. We're trying to get this, the nice place over here, and trying to do this over here because we wasn't happy here, you know, so we got to get a little bit, something a little bit better. And then we finally got a nice house and 5 acres of land, a swimming pool and a barn and horses that we wanted, and had all kinds of stuff. But come to find out, none of it was worth anything. I mean, it's all going to burn up one day anyway. The only thing that really means anything is the spiritual part. Soon this life, I quote this a lot, soon this life will be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. You take a man that's dying of cancer, he's not worried about his material possessions. He might think about him, he might have thought about him before he got that way, but he's thinking about where he's going, see. And you know, people don't know. You don't know from one minute to the next when there's a fellow at work down there. He died just last week or so. And walk around as healthy as anybody. He was about 50 years old, I think. Died of a heart attack, died, just like that. I went out to wash his car, I think. You don't know. I mean, these people die of heart attacks 30 years old. So you can't depend on nothing. You scramble around and get all the money and everything else you want. It's not worth 2 cents. Not worth nothing. Because it's all going to stay here. You're going up. You're going either up or down, and it's going to stay here. All right? Now, he was blind. There's a boy in Bible school down there. Went to Bible school. I forgot his name. You remember his name?
Randy Johns.
And he was blind, had him a dog. He came to Bible school, and that dog, he went to class. The dog came in there. He went to his place, you know, he sat down. The dog lay down there beside him. And there for a while, he was carrying his big Braille Bibles, you know. He'd open it up, you know, and feel through the thing. Well, he was blind, see, and he was going to school down there. He finished. He graduated. I don't remember, it was late this past year, I think. Anyway, he's gone. I don't know what he's doing now, but I think he's from up in Ohio somewhere. But anyway, he was blind physically, but he had more sight, you know, spiritually than you take 85% of the people in the churches in the United States. I mean, he really, and he sung, you know, well, you're talking about the place coming apart, that whenever he's singing a lot of times, everybody running, hollering, jumping down, you know, a bunch of fanatics. So that's that's physically blind. Now, the spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness in John 3, verses we went over in Sunday school not long ago. John 3 and verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because our deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. People won't come to Jesus Christ because they're going to have to see their sins. And they're living in a dream world. They think they're all right. It's this positive age we're in. Everything's positive. You can't, don't say anything bad about anybody because you're judging them, you know. You talk about the good points to everybody. Everybody's good. I'm all right, you're all right, see. That type of thing. Especially, you tell everybody you're all right so it makes you feel better. Because really deep down, if a man sat down and examined himself, he'd know he is sorry and rotten, wretched, no good, and a sinner. So he deserved hell. Just examine yourself a little bit. Go home, sit down, and just think about the different reasons you ought to go to hell for. The things you do now, being saved. Your only goodness is Jesus Christ, and that's it. the spiritual blindness. And they hate Jesus Christ because they're convicted of their sins. So that's the reason people won't come to him, because he was sinless. And if he's sinless, then that reproves them right away. They try to find something. That's the reason the Jews tried to say he was a bastard son of a Roman soldier. Because it showed them their sins. They don't like it. People don't like it. That's the reason if you do any witnessing, then right away, quick as you say something, did you know that the Bible says that for all of sin come short of the glory? Well, what about you? I see you do such and such and such and such, you know. That's where they are. That's the reason y'all live as holy and clean a life as possible. Because of that, see. So they can't find anything to jump back on you. See, people justify themselves by picking your little sins out, see. And you can pick them out of anybody if you stay with them long enough. People say, I'm not too bad. I mean, you know, you're talking to them, I'm not too bad. Well, I've never killed anybody. You know, some people say, well, I never run around with my wife. You know, and the one thing I don't do, I don't lie. Preacher, I tell you, if I told you I was coming to church, I would come. That's the reason I'm not going to tell you that I'll come, because if something might happen, he won't lie. Well, he's saying he won't lie, but he's as wicked as hell inside because he rejected Jesus Christ, see? And all the fornication, adulteries, adultery don't necessarily have to be physical adultery. Sit there and watch TV and have eyes full of adultery all the time, see? But he justifies himself by saying, now, this one point, I don't lie. I'm not going to lie. He's a dirty sinner. Now, these blind, turn to Matthew. Jesus had something to say about blind people. Turn to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. And this is the religious people. These religious people, they're spiritually blind. They got their little religion. That's the way people are today. People got set in their little religion, and they don't want to go any further with it, see? They're happy with their religion. They find them a church that pats them on the back and loves everybody, and everybody just wonderful people, and they sing good songs. And no matter what they preach, no matter what, whether they believe this book or not, no matter what, whether they say anything about the sins, no matter whether a person gets himself is growing at all in the church, see, don't matter about that. It's whether they're getting patted on the back. That's the way they are. All right, this is what Jesus said about some blind people. Verse 17, 23:17. Ye fools. What a thing to call people, you know, call them fools. Ye fools and blind, for whither is greater, gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? Look at verse 19. Ye fools and blind, for whither is greater, the gift or the altar? Now, on and on, all the way down through there. Look at 24. Ye blind guides, which strain the net and swallow a camel. They major in on minor things. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Did you know that he could be talking about a lot of independent Baptists. A lot of them talk about, you know, you got to do this and you got to do that live. You know, separation is the main thing instead of the Word of God, and they want everybody to look just right and act just right because it comes from their church. See, That's the Pharisee. There's separation. Now, I believe in separation. I believe you all be separate from the world, and you all live as clean and holy and not go along with things of the world and look, you know, the way you're supposed to look because of your testimony before the world. Because, just like I said about when you witness to somebody, they're going to look at every little thing they can about you. So you ought to separate yourself. And you ought to live holy and clean as possible. But it's so you can witness. And it's not so that everybody has a haircut just right here, and everybody has wears just the right kind of clothes with a collar bar and everything just right, you know. It's not that way. Because I don't care what after you get out of the church here, you know, it's a bad testimony on a church a lot of times if somebody just do anything, you know, say, where you go to church? I go over there at Bible Believers Baptist Church, you know, but I really believe that Bible and I serve the Lord, you know, stuff like that. Well, that's a bad testimony, but just because you do that don't mean that, don't mean you're not saved, but people say, you know, a lot of times these churches say, well, you know, I don't know whether he's saved or not. Bible says that any man be in Christ, a new creature, all things have passed away, behold, all things have come new. And he's still dipping stuff or chewing tobacco or something, you know. I don't mean nothing. But it's a bad testimony. See, that's the thing. Dr. Ruttman said a well-used bathtub and an unused Bible creates a Pharisee. And he said, a well-used library and an unused Bible creates a concentration camp. That's what the Nazis done, see. They were, you know, smart intellectuals and so on, but it ended up in concentration camps. Okay, so that's blind. People are spiritually blind. Now turn to Revelation chapter 3, and we'll see churches are blind. Revelation chapter 3, and start reading verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. You take a look at all the churches nowadays. You got great big buildings, you know, and they're building more buildings and building more buildings and all this stuff increased with goods. And knowest that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And a lot of them they don't believe this book, don't serve the Lord, don't preach nothing. So they're blind. And that's what that verse is talking about there. Black churches, colored churches all over this town. You know what they preach? I'm sure there's some in there that's pretty fundamental, and some of them doing a good job. But most of them preach a social gospel. You know, you need to get involved in politics. He never told you to get involved in politics. Jesus never told anybody to do that. You preach and you witness and get the hearts of people right, and then the politics will fall in place. The white churches, they're all trying to see who can get the highest steeple. There's two churches in Belmont. One built one steeple, and it'd been the highest steeple in I don't know how long. When this other church built their church, they had to have a steeple that was higher than the First Baptist Church. I believe it's First Baptist Church, wasn't it? They got their steeple higher. You know what? That's a wickedness, you know? I mean, what a mess, man. What's that got to do with the gospel? What's that? All that money they spent raising that steeple up. Hey, look how many missionaries they could have sent money to that's on the field. Crooked. All right, back to Mark chapter 10. And we'll look at his conviction and call. Blind Bartimaeus, conviction and call. Mark 10, verse 47. And when he... And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know what? He's seen his condition right there. He needed mercy. That's the first thing you got to see if you want to be saved. You need mercy. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I want you to notice something right there. Prayer has stopped the Lord. I mean, you can pray, and he might be doing a lot of things up there, but he'll stop to listen to your prayers. It stopped right there. He stopped him. Jesus stood still, verse 49, and commanded him to be called. That's his conviction and his call. He cried for mercy. Jesus calls man that calls on him. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But like I said before, a lot of times, by the time you've called, you already saved. When you get down, you exercise faith. When you get down to call on Jesus Christ, knowing that you lost and you need mercy, by the time you call him, the Lord done saved you. So that's hyper-Calvinism. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. So there you go. When Jesus Christ, if you're saved, you've got eternal security right there. You're called, you're predestinated, you're justified, and then you're going to be glorified. Same ones he called are the same ones that's glorified, see? So that takes you all the way through from the time you get saved all the way to the rapture. You're not glorified till the rapture. So that's the eternal security verse right there. Now, the next thing, back to Mark chapter 10. The next thing is his conversion. Look at Mark 10, verse 50. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. That's what you got to do right there. Yeah, cast away your garment. Bible says all our righteousnesses is as filthy rags. The filthy rags are gone. We got to cast away our self-righteousness in order to be saved, in order to come to Jesus. That's what you got to do. People are self-righteous. They think they, just like I said something about a while ago about John Wayne. He's self-righteous, see? He wouldn't cast away that garment of self-righteousness and come to Jesus. He wanted to hold on to it. You don't have it. You can't have it both ways. It's just one way. That's all. You have to see your filthy rags of unrighteous and then cast it away to Jesus Christ. And he said, and it said in verse 50, he came to Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That leaves out Buddha, Confucius, the Pope, the church, their priests, the Moonies. That leaves everybody out but Jesus Christ. One way. It's either by grace, through faith, without works, or you're trying to work your way to heaven. You're in one of the two groups. The next thing, the last thing, is his consecration. Look at Mark 10:52. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. Now, on that particular part right there, I want you to know something. Whenever Jesus healed somebody, I mean, he didn't have no healing lines. And second of all, he didn't come down there and somebody said, like that old man I was telling you about that tried to walk over right to the place, and by faith he got up and he staggered around trying to get up barely, couldn't get any. Finally got over to that seat and sat down. All right, if that fellow was a healer, quick as that man by faith got up there, he'd have been healed. But he wasn't healed. Whenever God healed somebody, immediately he received his sight. See, all these healers, we heard a guy on the radio, Hal Lindsey, was going somewhere and had the radio on. Hal Lindsey was on, somebody asked him a question what he thought about healers. He said, well, some of them is good and some of them bad. You know, some of them's right and some of them's wrong. Well, every healer I ever run across is crooked. And they're trying to get money out, extort money out of poor people. And it by trying, I ain't seen nobody get here. I ain't seen nobody get the dead raised or eyes that's been blind from the birth. Automatically, their eyes come where they can see. It don't work that way. If a man can be healed, if he's got that gift of healing, he ought to be able to lay hands on somebody and they ought to be healed. Bunch of crooks, see? That's not what this last point's about. This last point's about following Jesus. And he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. That was his consecration. He followed him. Nicholas of Flew, he's a Swiss hermit, he said this. And this is what it takes. If you want to follow Jesus, you do this. It says, O Lord, take from me what keeps me from thee. Give me what brings me to thee. And take myself and give me thyself. You know what he's saying? You got, just like I was talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Get rid of yourself. You got to get yourself out of the way and get Jesus Christ. You say, how to do that? I don't know. If I knew, I'd do it. All I can do is you got to get to the place where you willing, completely willing to let God rule you, your heart and life. You know, where you can serve. Now, I'm sure that it takes work, and it's a daily thing. I mean, it says, take up your cross. Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. So, I mean, you may do it today and win somebody to the Lord or be filled with the Holy Ghost and serving the Lord today, then tomorrow you something happens and you just back to the way you were, see. So it's a daily thing. It's a battle. That's the reason it says, the reason Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. It's a fight. It's a battle. Just like praying. You get down and start praying. All kind of things start coming in your mind. You know, you get down and pray and say, well, I should go do this. The devil puts those things. It's a battle. It's a spiritual battle. There's a war going on, see. We're in a war. Now, God's not as much concerned with your ability. There's a lot of great orators and a lot of great preachers and everything that can do a better job than any of us or anybody around here. But he's interested in your availability. Are you willing? That's what he wants to know. Are you willing to serve him, do what he wants you to do? Now, I tell you what we're going to do this morning. I'm not going to give an invitation. We're going to sing a song and have a word of prayer here in just a minute. But there's a song somewhere or another about blind Bartimaeus. You remember what it is? Lester Roloff sings.
Oh, it's not. It's just in one book we've got.
Sing that one then. Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. Turn to 298. And let's all stand a minute. Let's all stand. 298. Turn to 298. Let's have a word of prayer before we sing. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message. Thank you for each one here come out tonight. I pray, Father, that you bless it. I pray, Father, that you give us something from thee about showing us what salvation is out of your word and showing us how to live for thee and serve thee, Lord, like we ought to. I pray now that you bless this message and I pray it being for your honor and your glory and that you'd use it, Lord, in some way. I pray now that you'd be with each one of us now as we go through this rest of this week. And ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's sing 298.